Good afternoon. Thank you very much for deciding to come along and listen to this presentation. This is a short presentation, bit of background. This module that I work on is part of the Marketing, Communications and Advertising course. And the module, as you can see, is level 5 that I've been working on under a slightly different title. It used to be Psychology, Behaviour and Communications. Now we've revalidated and we've changed quite a lot of things, including the title of the module. So this revamped All Singing, All Dancing new thing is going to start in January 2016. Dr. Paul Johnston and I have always worked on it. Paul was the module leader and I've taken over module leadership from January. So the origins were about engaging our students in learning and so that they enjoy the experience and learn with us. Exactly resonates with me what David was saying this morning about, it was David,
yes.
Just got his name
David
wrong.
There
we are, thank you very much, David Nicol. Thank you, too many Davids. We don't want that. We all, it's in all our interest to have people thinking about things and really getting fired up about it. And one of the things I love about my professional area of marketing is that it allows people to be really enthusiastic about things. My kids tell me I'm too horribly cheerful all the time. You know, oh no, it's not so bad. I don't want people to do that. And we are expecting, we live in a world of 24/7 communications. We expect, and our students perhaps more than us,
me,
I turn my phone off, I actually power off. And they're like, what are you doing? You can't turn the power off your phone. But I do, and I ignore Facebook, and I ignore my messages, and I don't check my emails just before sessions are starting. And he's like, yeah, poor. But I'm an old person compared to the digital natives that we have in our classrooms. They're expecting us to communicate all the time, and interaction comes into the classroom. One of the things that I'm engaged in research is seeing what that mobile device that we have in our hand does to us as communicators. Does it stop us communicating face-to-face, or does it help us to communicate better face-to-face? So the original idea of came through an online discussion at level 7, so postgraduate, that I ran a strategic communications module. And there was an online debate, and I was surprised and gratified to find how engaged the students were. They were on, I gave them a minimum of 6 contributions over the 2 months. They loved the fact that they could go on and put comments on and upload articles at any time, day or night. They gave me fantastic theoretical information and brought in articles that I hadn't even thought about obtaining for myself. Good breadth, bringing in a wide range of theories. The difficulty for that was lassoing them into the topic. You know, they'd sort of go off. But then I think, does that matter? I don't know, you know? So that's where we started. The new assessment, we have always asked the level 5 students to do a group video. It was 5 to 10 minutes, now it's 3 to 5 minutes. Encouraging them to think creatively about things. They're asked to do that out there in marketing. I worked as a marketing manager until 6 years ago when I became an academic. So I know that the world out there demands us to be conversant with these technologies, know what vlogging does, know the impact it has to persuade people to do things in the world of advertising and marketing as well as our everyday life. So we've done that already, which I think is quite a creative assessment. The students really moan about it at the beginning. So I brought with me pages and pages of explanations about how to access the information, how to borrow video equipment, how to put it together, and book editing suites in the Learning Centre. So there's a lot of hand-holding at the beginning, but the assessment itself, 3 to 5 minutes, we, the tutors, sit in a room and go against the assessment criteria. So the end, less prep, less sort of time taken in the beginning. From January, I'm asking them to put an individual blog as 60% of their assessment. So reflecting their individual learning journey. So I want them to think about their learning style, their team style, all those things. They can go where they like with it, really. But I also want them to bring in the theories of persuasion, theories of changing attitudes and behaviour that we study through the lectures and the seminars. So I want that to reflect academic rigour, and I think that's the danger, that they might not get that. Yeah.
Is this one module, or are these tasks within a module, or a task within a module, or is this
two tasks within one module?
Those are the two tasks.
Those are
on
the
this
two
module.
Tasks on this module. Yeah.
What was
yeah.
the weighting again?
The weighting is 40% for the YouTube vid group work, 60% for the individual blog.
And when you say 8 times 200, that's 8 entries of
yeah,
a minimum
of about
200 words.
Not a minimum. I don't care if they can give me something really great in 50 words. I would love them for that. After all, we live in a Twitter world.
So a maximum of 200 words.
I'm not giving them a word. I'm saying about 200. You know, that's why I was really interested this morning when he was saying we could work with our students to work on assessment criteria, because I'd like them to say, I think 200's too many. I think 50's too few. And we agree it amongst us at the beginning. The danger is there are people who will give me nothing and sort of set themselves up to fail. I don't know. This is instead of the online discussion. Now, one of the things I want to learn from you is, if you think that this is going to go wildly wrong and I should stick to an online discussion, then I'll even entertain that. You know, we're at that stage where I'm not committed to it. Though I think it works, because out there they are blogging. They are doing those things. So it isn't one piece of written work, and it has that nebulousness about it. The deadlines I've given them are Monday at midnight on the week of the assessment. So and it's very clearly set out. So it's unpredictable. It's the unpredictability that's scary, but also interesting and exciting. Students can pretty much choose what they talk about within the broad parameters that I give them. And the marking is interesting. Now, Paul and I have worked together for a long time. We understand each other, and we understand a lot of the theories that underpin attitude change and behaviour and persuasion, the art of persuasion, if you like. But you do need to be prepared for anything. And the fact that students find it really challenging, that ambiguity is part of the game, that I am not giving them the assessment criteria in little boxes that they can tick and say, this is the correct answer. And there is the public versus privacy impact of a blog that concerns me a bit. Doesn't concern me enough to not do it, but there are concerns there, aren't there? So this time, rather than the discussion group at level 7 being very broad, I've put both assessments are very closely linked. So the YouTube clip is focused on persuading young people who currently might be toying with the idea or even experimenting with drug taking to stop that behaviour or persuade them against it. Or it could be that people who are strongly into drugs and beginning to rely on them to persuade them not to do that. And they will do that in the YouTube clip. And so that controversy is built into the YouTube element of it, the group work. And then the blog will be along the lines of their individual learning journey, as well as the theoretical concepts underpinning the YouTube clip. The good thing about the 8 blogs is that we can do proper formative assessment, and they can retrieve it. If they mess up the first one, they can improve as the 7 remaining, rather than the 6 remaining. So there'll be a lot of interventions and a lot of discussions about that. But that's the story so far. So any questions and comments?
Hi.
You were saying about the problem with the blog being public versus private.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean the blog is public on the Blackboard site, I presume?
Yeah.
Why did you choose a public blog versus a private one? So
well, I haven't chosen it yet. This is what I'm saying. I've still got till January
okay.
before I kick it
you
off.
You can do blogs on Blackboard.
Yeah.
but via Blackboard app on your tablet on your phone, not via
the blog site or the Google blog
on Blackboard. If you want them to have the facility to upload photos or a file or a hyperlink, they need to do it via their mobile device, not via the desktop. There is missing functionality on the blog facility. On the there is a YouTube video of me demonstrating that on Blackboard. So you could do it as private that way.
Yeah.
But you are using the Blackboard blog feature.
I'm not going to do that. Because I talked to the techie guy and he said, actually, you're better off because you've got better functionality. And I want it to be as realistic as possible because half the students who are in marketing communications at the moment on placement get asked to do blogs regularly as part of their work on work placement. So I want it to be realistic. So if that's, I'm saying to you, there's an issue that we need to be thinking about, but if it's about giving them the freedom to do the blog in an interesting, engaging and possibly more persuasive way, or go through the Blackboard site, I'm going to choose the other way.
So are you suggesting a particular blog site?
Yeah,
I'll
give them Google Blogger at the moment.
Right.
That's what we're asking to go through. Yeah.
And then on the other side of that, sorry to completely interrupt.
No, don't worry.
You were saying about them sort of being quite flexible with their word count and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of worrying about people being like not submitting anything or submitting quite a lot. I think it's quite a good idea to have quite a flexible way of letting them choose, like, you know, about 200 words, you know, but if you want to go over, that's fine.
Yeah.
I did a reflective blog during my degree,
mm-hmm.
and our teacher did the same thing. She sort of went about 500 words, but she was like, it's up to you. And it really let us have that sort of freedom in our minds, but like, I can expand on that because I'm not
mm-hmm.
stuck to 200, so I think that's a really good idea.
Oh, thank you. Good. Yeah, that was my instinct as well.
I was going to ask if there's a reason you want to introduce it at level 5. Like in terms of,
levels are hard to engage, I think. Level 4, you tell them, like we were talking about earlier with Lucien, you'd suggest something and they pretty much do it, you know, most of the time. Level 6, what? How much does it contribute to my end degree? And I need a first, and I need to get centered for that. Level 5, slightly less able to propel themselves into the classroom at 10 o'clock in the morning. Once there, they need to have something interesting and relevant. So I think it was the relevance bit that got me.
How you could do this, sorry, I don't know, like from the first years or whatever,
mm-hmm.
having the experience of being like, well, this is the marking criteria, this is the format that we want you to submit work in, like essays or whatever you do. Then doing something completely different. Do you think you might struggle with like telling them to like be creative or telling them to like
there
think
is a module in the first year.
Like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, especially because it is actually getting past that first year stage where actually your marks do matter.
Mm. And you may find you'll be hesitant because it's public because they're applying for placements.
Yes.
And employers Google them.
They do.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that is a great thing for their portfolio for placement.
I'm saying
do this and you're more likely to get an interview.
Yeah.
For goodness sake.
Could be
so
quite a good moderating effect.
Indeed. That as well.
The lady on the end.
Oh, sorry. You were on about can build upon the blocks.
Yes.
What is the time scale between then each block? So we've
each block is a week.
Yeah. And we had some Iraqi students and we gave them similar things.
Yeah.
But we found some of them left all the blocks till the end.
I want them to go a week, midnight on the 15th of February, midnight a week later, midnight a week later, have a break for Easter. Bit of a worry that they've got 2 weeks off, but then back to the midnight thing. And I'm going to push them along in the seminars.
But will they have like a point where they don't submit?
That's right, bang, you're off.
In the group work, what happens if they all contribute equally?
Well, that's where peer review is really critically important, and so I don't expect everybody to appear on film for the YouTube clip, but I want them to have put an extra equal weight in, and we spend a lot of time in seminars making sure that equal doesn't mean the same. I'm not going to say that this is the correct answer, and if you give me a 3 minutes on time YouTube clip that's incredibly boring, you will get a good mark. You will, that's what I mean.
You mentioned that you said that the, as I understood, the criteria should be not clear for them. Is that correct or not?
Yeah.
But at the end of the slide, you said that the marking criteria should be very clear. So I'm confused.
I think what I mean by that, the marking criteria must be clear about what we expect from them. And it's back to that first point that David made earlier on about having clarity of what they're expected to do, because it would not be fair to ask somebody to do a 3-minute YouTube clip and not have any. So that's why they read a very long part of the formative. They have two formative assessments beforehand, one of which is about an Australian research project about drug taking, and they have different user groups, so everything from low risk thrill seekers, reality swappers, good robust piece of research that they have to present a poster design that speaks to one of the audiences. So we're setting them up so that they know the people they're talking to on the video, and they're more equipped. So I'm not saying equip them badly for undertaking the task, but I'm saying don't say if you get it 3 minutes and you all speak and everybody says this and if it's boring, you're going to get a low mark.
So
if it doesn't engage us.
So marking criteria, I think it's the wrong word.
I think you're right.
It's a detailed assessment brief.
Detailed assessment brief.
But not providing an assessment rubrics.
That's it. Thank you. That's what I'm going to write down. And
Have you considered things like accessibility?
So late submissions.
Late submissions.
They're allowed late submissions.
They should be allowed.
So you're going to need to know your LTA contracts.
All right. Thank you.
We've got A submissions, which kind of contradicts the university regulations. Just having two tasks.
I'm only allowed two tasks in my module.
You haven't got two tasks. You've got nine tasks.
I've got two.
You've got.
It's a blog.
You've got eight submissions.
And it's a YouTube clip.
So they could. They should really have one submission day. So how are you going to tackle that?
Well, if somebody's got extenuating circumstances and they need to go to the end.
No, she should just have one submission for those tasks.
Assessment schedule,
only 21
days.
Yeah, I've given them week 40 for the end submission date, but I'm going to tell them to do it midnight. So I'm not allowed to do it, you say?
Well, you're not supposed to.
I think it depends what language you use, really.
It's formative because I said
so
that we're giving them
the
feedback
for the final blog. It's formative.
It's formative.
And the final one is the summative.
It's the summative.
That's perfect.
Oh wait, so they're doing sort of 8 mini blogs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one final big one.
They
are
now. My only thought is with the discussion, you've got them discussing against each other, so it's that interactive dialogue going on with each other where they're popping each other and researching it.
Yeah.
Whereas a blog is a broadcast,
I know.
And there isn't that depth of discussion going on. Maybe
that's why I did wrestle with that personally, because I felt that the. And then I thought, blogging is such a topical thing,
but
know?
Also commenting on blogs. So
yeah.
What
asking
about
the comments?
They've got to each week do their blog, but also go and
comment
on somebody else in deep depth.
That's a good idea. I've got so many things to write down. Mm. Thank you. Good idea. Yes.
I just wondering if you've got a thought about the ideal group size for the
YouTube.
Is
my ideal.
Five.
I'll accept 4. Mm. I'll worry about 6.
Right. Okay.
That's what it's working on.
The groups
they can choose their groups. Yeah. I'm not having people sitting in socio-culturally related groups, so if there's a bunch of people from Europe, I don't allow them to be in the same group, so I scatter them. But that's perfectly doable in the first sort of seminar. Yeah.
Just as a small sort of binding, if they're allowed to choose their groups, sometimes there may be conflicts.
Yes, indeed.
Conflicts
yeah.
of interest most of the time,
yeah.
and sort of one person doing a lot of the work and others doing not so much.
Yeah.
How are you going to tackle that type of thing? If they're choosing, obviously, it is a group piece of work, are you going to allow them to do sort of peer feedback? Or
we do a lot of
quite
peer
feedback. With you, like, kind of see you with any issues? Or
we have in the past had that really big
time, you know, so-and-so's not done anything, leave it to the last minute, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We do a lot in the seminar, and I'm building that in more.
Yeah.
And I also need to have regular updates on progress updates rather than just, are you all doing okay?
Yeah.
I realise I'm
out of time.
Can I
say thank you to Liz?
Not at all.